It's 88.5 KCSN, and a little War on Drugs for you in the morning to wrap up that set. Nick Harcourt, your host, still half asleep here, but thank you very much for Britt Daniel and getting up early and coming in and playing for us. How are you, mate?
Hey, Nick. How are you?
Good to see you.
How do you like that War on Drugs?
It's working, right?
Yeah, I really like that record.
Yeah. Oh, the record. I thought you meant the actual...
Well, the War on Drugs. It's working real well.
Yeah, exactly.
Nancy Reagan really had something.
Welcome,
an idea there.
Welcome to the Valley. Thank you for coming out this morning.
Yeah.
Spoon playing tonight, right?
Yeah, we're playing tonight at Hollywood Forever.
Have you played there before?
I haven't. I've never even seen a show out there.
It's going to be fun, I think. It's a rather unusual venue, to say the least. And then you get there and it kind of makes sense. But anyway, let's talk about this new record. You're going to play some songs for us as well. Why don't we start off with a couple of tunes and then we'll come back and catch up.
No.
The album is called They Want My Soul, the 8th Spoon record, I believe. Lots to talk about. But first of all, Britt joins us for a live acoustic set.
All right. This one's called Rainy Taxi.
You catch everything I never could. You believe when I gave up for good. And when you stand beside me, I could tell I'm stronger than I've ever been. But if you're gone, you know you don't come back. I came home last night, I had no good news. I came home last night, I had no good news. And you received me through the brightest flash of apocalyptic run. And if you leave, I'll never sing another tune. Ooh, put on your red shoes, sing to me, lover girl. When you do, my love, I forget the world. And if you say run, I may run with you. I got nowhere else, I got nothing else. As the sun goes fading in the west, there's an army east that's rising still. And we receive me through the brightest flash of apocalyptic run. But if you leave, I'll never seek another tune.
How's that? Keep going. All right.
I was on 45th. I was half out of a bag. Yeah, I knew that you saw me. You laughed when I looked back. Thought I'd given up, now I didn't feel so bad. And then a shot went through me, and then I walked right back. Do you wanna get understood? Do you want one thing, or are you looking for sainthood? Run when it's just getting good. Or do you something about this heat. Cause it's late in October and tossed to a mountain in the street. You tiptoe for ages, but lose yourself. Flipping back pages, unbuckling belts. Oh, love, that's the way love comes. Do you, don't you know that's the way love comes? Do you feel it black and blue?
Thanks for playing for us. Britt Daniel from the band Spoon playing a couple of acoustic songs for us. We're going to have a little bit of a chat before we get to the last tune. As we mentioned at the beginning, tonight at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, sold out, which is kind of nice. Let's talk a little bit about this new record and what's been going on in between albums. Yeah. And it's been a while since I've seen you, that's for sure. It's so funny. You walked in, I was like, he looks exactly the same, which is nice. But we're all a little bit older and hopefully a little bit more experienced. I think the last time I saw you was probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago.
Seems like we used to run into each other all the time.
Yeah, it did, but that was at the other place when you'd come down to the basement.
And then
regularly.
I'd see you at South by Southwest.
This is true, because you were living in Austin, of course. You now live in Los Angeles, and you've been, well, of course, everyone has to come here, right?
Right.
At least for a while. You've been here, what, 3 or 4 years now, something like that?
Yeah, 3 years now.
How is it? I mean, obviously you like it, you're still here.
Well, it's beautiful, right?
It's look outside, look at the weather.
Yeah.
We got orange
groves. Beautiful every day.
We got orange groves all over the valley.
And it's inspiring to me, too. You know, I came from Portland and it was raining all the time. I don't know. The rain didn't bother me, but it eventually got to where it's like, okay, it's time to work on music or write a song. And I look outside, it's just pouring down rain, and I just want to start drinking, you know?
Well, sure.
And here I feel, you know, like, wow, this is a beautiful day. Let's get at it.
Let's go out and do something. Why do you think there's so many Brits living over here? Excuse the term. Yeah, English people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that weather,
That's a very good point.
You got to get out. It's depressing.
Right.
But obviously moving to Los Angeles was something that sparked a little bit of a change in you, because it seems like you've been even busier with various projects as well. Why don't we talk about the break you took, first of all, between Spoon's last album and the new one, and if you don't mind talking very quickly about Divine Fits and how that came about, and then maybe how that re-inspired you to come back to the Spoon songs.
Well, when I was starting to think about the idea of Divine Fits right when I moved to LA, I just kind of wanted to take a bit of a break from Spoon and try something else. And my friend Dan Beckner Wolf Parade had just broken up. And so I was like, okay, the moment that he told me that, I said, okay, well, then we have to start a band. And luckily, he agreed. And so we started putting it together right when I got here, and he lived at my place. And we put together this band. We put together a record before we played, and then we toured on it for about a year and so.
Let me. I was very successful as well. You did great out there with that, and a little different as you would expect, because you've got a new collaborator.
Right.
How did that work? And working on those songs and that collaboration, then come back to Spoon and the songs that you wrote for this album, or were these songs already in process at the same time?
There weren't many in process. No, I mean, we tried New York Kiss with Divine Fits. But that's like an old song that Spoon couldn't figure out years ago. And then I tried it with Divine Fits. We couldn't really figure it out either. And then finally got it right this time. But I don't know. Mostly it was just good to have a break and to have that perspective of what it's like to play with new people. We actually brought one of the guys from Divine Fits, Alex, is now in Spoon. So that was a big...
Playing keys.
Yeah. That was a big plus. But yeah, I think every relationship probably could stand a break every now and then.
So how were you then reinvigorated, I guess? What did you get from that experience of working with somebody else?
I got Alex. Well, it was actually really fun to be in a band where I wasn't singing every song and writing every song. And Dan is like a beam of positivity and light and an amazing performer. So it was kind of cool to be able to go on stage and know, even if I... You know, there were very few times I wasn't feeling it. But say I went up there and I wasn't feeling it, I could count on Dan to carry it, you know? He's just so good up there, just the way that he does everything.
You've been doing this a while now, 20 years plus. And we've both seen a lot of changes in this industry as we've been having our various careers, mine on this side of the microphone and yours obviously out there performing and writing songs. When you look at where we're at today and putting a new album out in this climate, do you have to work harder?
Well, we certainly spend a lot of time on social media that we never would have thought of doing it last time we put out a record.
Well, what do you think of that? I mean, really seriously, I mean, you're doing the Facebook and doing the Twitter and the Tumblr and what else? I mean, you're involved with it yourself.
Some other band members write some of them. Right. Some of them are just kind of news, you know.
But do you think that's important? Or do you do it because somebody said, well, you got to do this, you're in a band?
I think it's important, and I think it's a good way to put put some of your own reality out there and to do it very directly and very simply and very quickly. I think that's all good. I mean, you know, people want to get a feeling of what these... people that make their favorite records are like, you know, and I think some of that comes out there. Then there's also a lot of like, look, listen, you got to go buy our record at Best Buy, you know. Some of those things are required.
I know we're talking about records and Best Buy, and I don't know if that still actually works. I guess it does, but most of the people are getting their music from the web, obviously, and people are digital the downloads and a lot of people will only buy a track. So from the point of view of a band that's a working band that has to go out there and make a living, because everybody has to, when you put together a new collection of songs and you go out and tour them, is that really where it's at for a band these days? You just got to be out there. And do you find yourself still in enjoying being out on the road?
It's my favorite part because it's sort of the most immediately rewarding. It's not the most important part. I still feel like records are what makes a band. It's the lasting testament. And also just because records mean so much to me personally, you know. I think that's, I was talking about this not long ago, that I feel like that's why it takes so much longer for records to come out these days, is because the money is made touring and doing shows and doing these festivals. And when that is the way that you sustain yourself, then records kind of get pushed back and back and, you know.
Because when you stop to actually make a record, you're not making money.
And it's just I can see how it seems less important to a lot of bands. It's not less important to me. It's just,
How do you think your songwriting has evolved during this period? I mean, if you think about writing songs for this record, you're an older guy. Mm. Hopefully, we evolve as humans during these times. But how do you think your songwriting has evolved through, if you think about the first couple of albums and then to this one? Do you still write about the same stuff?
When we first started out, I was pretty reluctant to write about anything that was personal or in any way vulnerable, you know, and there was a lot of cool rules we were playing by. I mean, I thought that there was nothing cooler in the world than post-punk or the band Wire, you know, and their lyrics are a certain type of poetry, but they're not very revealing, you know, and that was kind of my vibe for a long time. And then around the time of Girls Can Tell, maybe because I was personally going through something, and also just because I just realized this, it can have power, I started writing a little bit more about my actual self, you know, and I think that's continued.
Is it easy for you to then sing those songs on stage?
Is it easy to sing the personal songs on
stage?
Yeah, although I gotta admit, you not always reliving each song as you sing it on stage. Sometimes you're thinking about the performance and how to carry that, or just getting into the music purely from a sound perspective, you know. But
so are you able to separate that moment from, you know, when you wrote the song in a, you know, if it's a personal thing and you're in a place of torture or something when you write the song, are you able to separate that from the moment of performance?
For sure, you can. But sometimes it's fun to specifically try to relive it. There's this one song, I Summon You, that, you know, has a lot of emotional weight for me. And that's one that pretty much every time we play it, I think about a certain something, someone.
Mm. Well, congratulations on getting another one out.
Thanks, man.
Making a record and getting it out at this point for anybody, I think, is quite a feat, regardless of your history. And the show is tonight. So are you in the middle of stuff right now, or about to head out on stuff? I'm not sure what you're...
We're doing a festival in San Francisco on this weekend, then a show in Portland, and then we're kind of off for a couple of weeks. Then we do a real tour starting like the beginning of September.
All right. Well, the full band is out at Hollywood Forever Cemetery tonight. Yeah. What are you going to wrap up with, Bert?
This is a song called Black Like Me.
All right. Well, thanks again. Thanks to the guys.
Thank you for having me. You got a really nice place here.
It's nice, right?
Yeah. It's a beautiful building.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Thanks so much. Britt from the band Spoon going to take us out.
Okay.
I'm gonna lead to someone to take care of me tonight. As I walk into Dorian's, can you see it in my eyes? My boots are on the mend and late walking home. Street tar and summer will do a job on your soul. Street tar and summer will do a job on your soul. Ginny's watching cover shot, my head's feeling light. I'm a lead to someone to take care of me tonight. And lay high, and lay away, so I split. Like just getting out of there, what's gonna get me out of this? I spent the night in the map room, I humanized the vacuum, yeah. Someone to take care of me tonight. Oh, and as I'm looking out at you, can you see that in my eyes on the men? Now they could lead me home. Street tar and summer, they do a job on you so hard. Oh, chill is gone day and night. Oh, it made me feel so light. Just somebody to care to light. Watching day and night. Oh, it made me feel so light. Just somebody to care tonight. Ooh, and all the weird kids up front, tell me what you know you want. Just somebody to care tonight. All right.